Over the summer, we've been focusing on a single theme. And that theme has been, if Jesus is Lord, I will walk as He walks. That God's challenge is to live in a way that places our feet exactly in His footprints. And when we do that, we are practicing active discipleship. We've learned that the closer you get to walking in His steps, the more abundant your life is going to be. But there's another reality that we have to face. And it is this. When you're trying to walk as He walks, there are going to be times when you stumble. There are going to be times when, as hard as you try and as closely as you stay, there are going to be times when you just don't quite fit in His footsteps. You're going to miss a step. You're going to wander away from His path for a little while. You may feel your knees knuckle under the weight of circumstances from time to time. There are two times when you're most prone to stumble in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time is when you're going through the storms of life. And storms affect everybody from time to time. Those times when there just seems to be turbulence all around you. And you're not sure where it came from, and sometimes you're not sure when it's going to end. And in those times, you're tempted to stumble. The other time that you stumble is when you fail. When, having had all of the commitment you could possibly have and trying as hard as you try, there are times when you just fall short. You grow way too confident in your own strength. You begin to think you don't need the Lord anyway. And sin gets a grip on your life, and you fail. So this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching about those times when we stumble. This morning, I'm going to be talking about the storms of life. Next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about the steps you take in those times when you fail. And across the next couple of Sundays, one of the things I'm pretty much sure of is this, and somewhere along the line, you're going to find yourself. Somewhere along the line, you're going to discover those places when you have fallen, when you have stumbled, where you're prone to stumble, those places where you know it's easy for me to fall short. And we're going to learn what God does in those times. So let's begin with the storms, because when you go through the storms, you learn just how much you can trust the Lord. When you step the way He steps. So let's jump in, looking together at this story that we just read together a while ago, this time when Jesus came to His disciples in the midst of the storm, when they were certain they were about to perish, and did something amazing. So let's jump in. Let's find out what the Word has to say. And the first thing it tells you is this. You're going to go through storms. No matter who you are, no matter how deep your relationship with Christ may be, no matter how well prepared you think you are, storms are going to roll into your life. There are going to be times when they're going to come in, and when the storms of life come in, they turn everything upside down. We've all been watching on the news this past week about the hurricane that barely missed Hawaii, and all of the rain and all of the wind and all of the destruction that's taken place in the islands over the last few days. I can guarantee you, 3 weeks ago, those folks weren't worried about anything at all. That storm was just a dot on the horizon. Oh, it might come touch us, but probably it's going to do like every other hurricane that comes across the Pacific. It's going to turn one direction or another, and it won't touch us. But it came. It came. Storms always come in our lives. Sometimes we recognize it, sometimes we don't. Storms will always come. In fact, I believe with all of my heart that in this room, and in this city, and in this state, and in this world, there are only three kinds of people. There are people who have gone through storms in their lives. There are people who are going through storms in their lives. And there are people who are going to go through storms in their lives. Every one of us at some time or another is going to find our lives turned upside down by the storms. Walking with Jesus doesn't mean that you're immune to the storms that are coming. In fact, there's two things I want you to notice about the passage we read together a while ago. The first one is this: Christ did not prevent the storms from coming. Although he could have. Now, he stepped into the situation, and we'll look more at that in a few moments. But let's face it. This is Jesus Christ, Son of God, who has already proved with a word he can still the waves and stop the winds. When he saw that storm was descending upon his disciples, he could have stopped it before it ever happened. He could have stepped in and said, no, not today, not in this place, not to these men, not now. He could have stopped the storms, but he didn't. The second thing you need to realize is this, and in fact, Christ did not prevent his disciples from entering the storm. A few minutes earlier, a few minutes later, they would have been safe and out of the way. But Jesus allowed the storms to come in right where those men were, right at that particular time. In fact, this is what Matthew says. When you look at the scripture carefully, this is what it says. It says Christ made his disciples get into the boat and set out ahead of him. Even though he knew what was coming, he still made them go through the storms. Because he didn't love them? Because he wanted to test them? Because he thought they needed to be chastened and disciplined? No. In fact, we really don't know. What we do know is this. The Bible says just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're never going to find yourself in the middle of the storm. Anybody who thinks that you can go through life without encountering storms because you are bulletproof doesn't understand the way life works. They're not being honest to themselves. They're not being honest to the Word. In fact, when you read the Bible, one of the things you discover is that time after time after time, from the beginning to the end, God allows His people to encounter adversity. God allows His people to go through real challenges. God allows them to go through the storms because there are things He can do in their character in the midst of the storm that He can't do anywhere else. And so He allows them to come. Storms will come into your life. They'll come from a lot of directions. Some storms come from life itself. Disease, death, disaster. These are common to all people everywhere. Life itself, from time to time, is simply going to allow something to happen in your life. You're going to encounter unanticipated adversity. You're going to go through real seasons of challenge because that's just the way it is. You're just like everybody else in this world. Some storms come into your life through the actions of other people. Their choices, their decisions, their sins, their failures. Other people do things and you just happen to be there. Other people go wrong and what they do in their lives affects your life. In fact, if you're one of those people who from time to time wants to justify your sin by saying, I'm not hurting anybody but myself, understand that is almost never true. Almost never. Other people do things. Your life gets affected. They drag you into the storm. You never wanted to be there. Some storms come into your life because of your own decisions. Because you set things in motion and the consequences of those things bring a storm into your life. Storms are going to come. Not only do they come, they often come at the worst possible time. You know, if the Lord were wise, He would allow us to schedule the storms, wouldn't He? We could say to Him, not this week and not next week, but maybe the middle of next month, then I'm going to have a little bit of downtime and I'll have more time to cope with whatever you're sending my way. So let me schedule the storms. That's what the Lord would do if he wanted to do it my way. But that's not what usually happens. Usually those things that turn our lives upside down come from nowhere. The disciples are in the middle of the lake. They're in the worst possible place. They're helpless to do anything to rescue themselves. There's nothing they can do to escape the wind and the rain and the waves. They're where they are accidentally, as far as they knew. We just happened to be there, and at the worst possible time, here came the storm into my life. The thing about storms is they seldom come when we're prepared for them. They seldom come when now I'm ready. I am prepared. I am prayed up. I am anticipating this. So send the storms, Lord. Send the storms. I'll never forget one Sunday evening when we were in Aliceville. It was almost time for Sunday night church to start. Just, 15 or 20 minutes before the service. And I just happened to be walking past the church office on my way into the sanctuary. And the phone rang. And I picked it up. And it was one of my deacons. And he said, listen, I just wanted to tell you, my wife and I were just getting ready to come to church, and we just saw on TV that there's a tornado headed straight toward town. And y'all better do something with the people that are there. Well, I grabbed a couple of deacons because, as you know, deacons are the wisest people in the church. At least I didn't call you demons this time, huh? And we went out on the front porch and we looked and it was dark and it was cloudy and it looked like it was going to rain, but it really didn't look all that dangerous. But we walked back in and I said to the people who were out in the sanctuary, guys, we just got a call. They said there's a tornado that is headed toward town. We can't see that anything's coming. But just to be safe, let's all go out of the sanctuary. We're going to gather in the inner halls of the church, and we'll just wait a few minutes just to make sure everything's okay. So everybody filed in, and we got out, and we all settled into the halls. And about that time, it came right over the top of our church. And in just a split second, I went from, there's nothing going on around here, too. I'm about to see this place fall apart right on top of me. That's the way it happens, isn't it? Not just physically. That's what happens to us spiritually. It's what happens to us personally. Sometimes that's exactly what happens to us when we're in the midst of our work situation, our family situations. Everywhere you turn, it comes from nowhere. Why does God allow us to walk through the storms? Well, I can't answer that question completely. I don't know anybody who can, but I do know this. The storms of life render everything down to the basics. When you're in the midst of a crisis, everything centers in on the things that matter most. It's when we need to remember two things that we should never forget. The first one is this. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Sometimes when the skies are clear and there's no clouds on the horizon, you begin to be pretty confident in yourself. You start to say to yourself, I've got it all under control. The job is good. The family's fine. There's nothing going on in my life I can't handle. If you're not careful, in those times when the sun is shining, you begin to be like that farmer in the parable Jesus told in Luke chapter 12. The one who looked at his barns, remember, bulging with grain. He's got an abundance in every direction he looks. He says to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That kind of sounds the way we feel when the sun is shining in our lives, doesn't it? You got it all under control. Everything's going your way. Eat, drink, and be merry. We're in great shape. But it's often when you become most complacent and most self-satisfied that the storms will come and remind you of who you were. For the rich fool, it was the specter of death itself that put it all into perspective when God said to him, tonight your soul will be required of you. One minute the sun is shining. The next he's being told, you're about to stand before God in judgment. For you and me, it may be a personal storm or a financial storm or an occupational storm or a spiritual storm. But here's one thing that's always true. In the storms, you learn true humility. The storms of life bring you back to the basics, who you really are. And you remember your hand is held, your life is held in the hands of the Lord. Remember who you are. God allows the storms in life to come because sometimes we need those things to bring us back to basics. We need to go through those seasons of challenge to remind us how much we truly depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in those times when we think we've got it all under control, we are more prone to drift from Him than any other time in our lives. And when we go through those seasons of struggle, God brings us back to remember who we are. But you don't just remember who you are, you also remember who God is. One of the things I have found constantly amazing over the years of my ministry is the number of people that I have talked to, encountered, been around, listened to, who have no use for the Lord. They have no use for God in their lives. They'll tell you they don't have any room for God in their lives. They've got everything just the way they want it, and they don't see any need to hang on to those old superstitions that other people seem to cling to. Until something goes wrong. And all of a sudden, you find them turning to God and begging for help and strength and deliverance. When the winds are blowing and the waves are crashing on their lives, all of a sudden, they need the Lord. I'll never forget 9/11. When 9/11 took place, I was coming back from a hospital to our church, and when I got back, I already had heard one building had been destroyed. The second building was coming down as well. It was obvious something horrible was happening in America. And I remember when I got back to our church, all I did was open the front doors. We didn't put out a call. We didn't send out an email. We didn't do anything, but I opened those doors, and guess what happened? For the next 3 days, that church was filled with people just coming to be with God, coming to seek the Lord, coming to ask for His help. When the storms come, we recognize who God is. In the 18th century, the French writer Voltaire was one of history's great humanists. He rejected God. He ridiculed everybody he knew who believed. But as he lay on his deathbed, drawing his last few breaths, as friends were gathered around him, one of his friends turned to another and he whispered to him, "You know, he doesn't believe in God." And when he said that, Voltaire sat up straight in his bed and he said, "I never said I didn't believe. I said I wasn't sure." When the storms come, you remember who you need, who God is, and how much you need Him. Jesus came to His disciples, walking on the surface of the towering waves, ignoring the power of the wind and the rain. And it was at that moment the disciples realized that as helpless as they were, Jesus was in complete control. Nothing about what was going on around them affected Him because He was God Almighty. And God is not affected by the storms that threaten to overwhelm you. When things are at their worst, there's one who is everlastingly in control and able to help. And nothing ever takes us beyond Christ's power to deliver. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 139. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." What does he say? He's saying, when I'm on top, you're there. When I'm at the very bottom, you're there. Wherever I turn, God, you're there. There's nothing that takes your presence away from me. There's never a time you're out of control. There's never a time I'm not in your hands. There's never a time when I can't trust you. I remember who you are. And that leads us to the most important thing the Lord wants you to learn, and it is this: storms teach you to depend upon Christ alone. When Peter recognized it was the Lord, he made a bold request: "Let me come to you on the water." And Jesus answered his prayer very simply. He said, "Come." And Peter walked across the water, and as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, his steps were sure. But when he looked anywhere else, all he saw was the rain and the wind and the depths beneath him, and he realized he was in an impossible situation. And he was almost lost. When the storms come, there's nothing more important than where you're placing your attention. Where do I turn when everything is blowing around me? Where do I turn when I think I'm starting to sink? Where do I turn when the winds and the waves are buffeting me? Where do I turn? Some can only see the storms and they despair. Some can only see themselves and they fail. Some even refuse to see anything. "There's no storms. I'm okay. Everything's under control." And they are lost. It is only when you keep your eyes on Christ that He makes your steps sure. You find your security not in the circumstances around you, but in the hands of Jesus, who loves you. Is it any wonder the Bible says, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When your eyes are on Him alone, He will bring you through the storms. And the storms will pass, and your faith will be secure, and your God will be faithful. One last thing, remember this, and it is never too late. It is never too late to call upon the Lord. Peter failed because he stopped letting Jesus guide his steps. As a result, he began to sink into fear for his life. But when he cried out, "Lord, save me," he looked back at Jesus, and his hand was already reaching out to make him safe. It is never too late to turn to Jesus. His name was Shorty, and if there was ever a lost person that I knew, he was the one. His wife was a member of our church, but he didn't want anything to do with the Lord or with the church or anybody connected with the church. Shorty was a drunk. He was a mean drunk. He was physically and verbally abusive to his wife, who hung in there with him for years. One time his wife finally had to commit him to a rehab unit to try her best to save his life. And I sat at her house and listened as Shorty called her on the telephone and demanded that she come and get him. "You come right now. If you don't come and get me now, when I get out of here, I'm going to kill you." Eventually, the abuse stopped. But the only reason it stopped was because alcohol destroyed that part of his brain that controlled his balance. He no longer had the ability to do anything but lay in a bed, maybe sit up against the pillows. All he could do was lay there. And it was only there, at rock bottom, that Shorty cried out to Jesus and asked him to save him. I have to be honest. I would have rejected his call. I bet you would too. I would have told him, you've waited way too long. You've rejected me too many times. I would have told him, there's no room for somebody like you in the kingdom of God. I would say that, but not Jesus. Jesus heard his cry, reached down into the depths of his sin, and saved him. And I got to witness a miracle, because for the next few months until he died and went to be with the Savior, he had a Christian home. Amazing. It is never too late. Never too late to call out to Jesus. Not for him. Not for you. From time to time, I talk to someone who will say, I really would like to be a Christian. I recognize I've wasted most of my life, but I have failed too many times. I have committed too many sins. It's too late for somebody like me. The witness of the gospel is, no, it's not. Not ever. Not until you draw your last breath on this earth will he stop reaching out to you. Will he not continue to call on your heart? Will he not continue to offer you forgiveness? Will he not extend his salvation? It is never too late. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those kinds of people who have said in the depths of your own heart, it's just too late for somebody like me. It's not. Maybe you say to yourself, it's not that I've been such a bad person, but I've just put it off and put it off and put it off, and he doesn't want me anymore. Yes, he does. Let me tell you something. The only people in this world that Jesus is not trying to save are saved people. Everybody else is somebody he's reaching out to and saying, it's your time. So if you're here this morning and you're not a believer and you know it's time for you to give your life to Jesus, in a moment we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn, and I'm going to be here on one side, Dr. Hutchins is going to be on the other, and we would love to introduce you to the Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you're recognizing, I want to be a part of this church fellowship. I want to be a part of what God is doing at First Baptist Church. I don't want to just attend. I want to be a part of it. I want to bring my membership to this place and serve God alongside of these people I've grown to love. Maybe today you need to come and bring your membership. Maybe you're dealing with storms in your life and you need to talk to someone for a minute or spend some time at the altar. That's what we're doing this for. You come. You come. Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God is moving in your heart, you come.